Premananda, did you introduce our three guests in the back here?
Yes.
You did, okay. So I already spoke with them and let them know I'm going to be eye contacting them throughout and even asking questions since this is a class for them. But there are many new people here, so it'll be educational for new people here and nice to remember and meditate upon for those of you that have been around for 20, 50 years or something. The topic is the divinity of Lord Chaitanya. So I think I need to introduce to you who is Lord Chaitanya first. And Bhagavad Gita's speaker is Krishna. And from your studies, you know who is Krishna, right? He's the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. I'll make different references specifically for you three for the benefit. I'll make statements and the way that things are supposed to be in spiritual matters. When one makes a statement, the statement is to be supported by some evidence, some scriptural evidence. So I'll do some of that. So the purpose of that is what I just said. It's not showing off or, wow, I've got a lot of knowledge. It's to illustrate there's support for statements of our understanding of who is Lord Chaitanya. Now, from your studies, I'm sure you know, I assume that you know the term Vaishnavism. No. Vaishnavas worship Vishnu. You know who is Vishnu. What you probably learned is there's three. The Trinity. Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. Hinduism courses teach that. They teach a lot of other things too, but that's... We're worshippers of Vishnu, and so we're Vaishnavas, and there are Vaishnavas in India that don't see Lord Chaitanya as we see Lord Chaitanya. They see him as a saint. They see him as a great personality in the renounced order of life, a monk who lived a renounced life and he gave teachings of love of God. That's how some people see him. That are also Vaishnavas. And our position, we're followers of Lord Chaitanya specifically. I'm mentioning Lord Chaitanya because this week, on Thursday, we're observing his appearance day. So it's like Christmas, you know? It's like it's once a year. It's the main holiday. Well, next to the main holiday, because another main holiday is Krishna's appearance. That comes September sometime. Lunar calendar, it changes when it falls during the year. And this appearance of Lord Chaitanya comes around this time of the year, February, March. So first we'll speak about Krishna to understand who is Lord Chaitanya. Krishna, as the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, states that he is the source of everything. You can find, if you want to look later in your Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, Krishna says in Sanskrit, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva pajante mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. Krishna says that he is the source of everything. Everything means everything material, everything spiritual, everything. He's the source of everything. Then he says in reverse, everything comes from me. So that by definition Maybe in your studies in your Hinduism class, you heard of Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra? Yes? You think so? So, the Vedas are of literature, and the Brahma Sutras are little summarizations. Sutras means like codes. And they're compressed little statements that summarize the whole of the Vedas, the vast, vast body of literature called the Vedas. And Hinduism is based upon the Vedas. So that the Vedanta Sutra says at the very beginning, the purpose of life is to pursue the knowledge of the Absolute Truth, that from which everything comes. Absolute Truth, by definition, according to Vedanta Sutra, janmadyasya yataha, the Absolute Truth is that which is the basis and support of everything that exists. Everything that exists has its basis and support in the Absolute Truth. There's relative truths, like it's cold out. That's a relative truth. Wait a while, and it's going to get warm out. And that's another relative truth. So, I have a body. My body was born in America. And that's, every time I fill out those entry forms coming, because I just came from India, I had to fill out one of those little entry forms. So, what's your name, what's your address, what's your nationality, da-da-da-da-da-da, what's your passport number? Those are truths. I didn't lie. I told the truth. But they're relative truths. Because wait a while, the soul will leave the body, and depending upon the consciousness at the time of death, Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, whatever the mind is fixed upon at the time of death, that's where you're going to go. That state you will attain. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajatante kalevaram. So it's the truth, but it's a relative truth. And the absolute truth is the basis and support of all truths, of everything. Whatever that is, the source of everything, that's the notion of God, or divinity, that from which everything comes. Another nice verse. It's a simile, and this, the verse says, "As pearls are strung on a thread, a nice garland, nice flowers. You can't see, but inside there's a string. That's what holds it together. And Krishna is what holds everything together. He's the string upon which everything rests. He's the basis and support. Mayi sutrakana iva." He's the thread upon which everything else rests. So that's what the absolute truth is. And by Krishna's own statement in Bhagavad Gita, he is that absolute truth. And from that absolute truth, expansions of material energy come. Expansions of spiritual energy come, and even expansions of himself come. In your studies of Hinduism, did you come across the word avatar? Besides the movie, you're familiar with that, okay. So there's another. Krishna is the avatari, he's the source of all avatars, those expansions of himself. Nice verse to support that statement. Ramadi murti shukala niyamena tishtan nanavataram avataram. He's the source of all avatars. Govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So, the picture I'm presenting, this is based upon the scriptural evidence, or pramana is the Sanskrit word, or evidence. There's a nice English word, epistemology. the means of knowing something, if you want to know who is God, there are different means that people may use to know who is God. And I'll make a long description short. The Vedic teachings say there are three basic ways and versions and derivations and subsets of those. But direct sense perception, like it's cold out because I feel the cold or it's warm out. So by sense perception, by logic and reason, and by scriptural evidence, shabda praman in Sanskrit, pratyaksha, anuman, and shabda. So the Vedic teaching says that the best means of knowledge or infallible means of knowledge, because sense perception is fallible, reason is fallible. Somebody that reasons something, some time passes, along comes another philosopher who says that wasn't right and that was wrong and here's a better way of understanding something. By reason and logic, things are inconclusive. So, by Shabda Praman, that's why I'm making these references, Krishna is the source. He is as all religions, all monotheistic say, there's God and he's the source of everything. So this is a monotheistic message. Within Hinduism, there's a polytheistic message also. Pantheism or many gods. You probably studied that one in your Hinduism class. So the picture that's given in Bhagavad Gita is those many gods, they're administrators. Just Friday evening, I was at the University of Illinois, Chicago. And there's one of the attendees was Melissa, American girl, undergraduate student. And she had heard something about the many gods and wanted to know, what's this all about? How does this fit into, in relation to Krishna? So I'll just go there a little bit, not expansively, but I'm sharing with you our Vaishnava perspective of the many gods notion, because ours is a monotheistic notion. So the many gods are the personalities who are administrators within the creation. So the way that I explained to Melissa, supposing you were God, supposing you were the creator, and you wanted to, like, make a universe. And you're not whimsical, you wanted to maintain the universe because there was a purpose of creating the universe. So wouldn't you set up a system to maintain it? And are you going to maintain the thing yourself for the whole duration of the universe? You would empower people, if you had the power to create the universe, you'd have the power to invest in others that would maintain the universe. So like, for example, when you read in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 4, in the very first text, Krishna says to Arjuna, I explained this same Bhagavad Gita message 200 million years ago to the sun god Vivaswan. That's a long time ago. And then, so Melissa wanted to know, who's the sun god? So he's given the power to shine. Where does he get that power to shine from? He gets the power from the source of everything. Krishna is the source of everything. So within the universe, you want some energy. So you empower the sun god to shine. And then the other administrative personalities within the universe. There is the goddess of fortune. People want wealth. So she is an energy of the supreme to provide wealth in this world for people who deserve it. Or at least people who have done some pious activities, and she bestows wealth as reciprocation for their piety. And so on. There's 33 million. There's primary, but there's 33 million administrative personalities, and the prominent ones are the ones that people worship who follow the Vedas, and they're not so clear about the monotheistic picture, but they know about their desires. They want wealth, they want health, they want longevity, they want stuff. And so they go to this one, that one, the other one, appropriately for the stuff that they want. And they follow the indications of the Vedas, and so there's submission to that authority. And then, according to what Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says, he gives the ability to those distributors of benefits, because he's the source of everything. So therefore, we worship Krishna. We respect those various personalities that take care of things in the universe, as we respect the personalities that, you know, the mayor of Naperville, and the police department, fire department, Department of Agriculture, whatever other departments there are, their administrators that help the mayor. So there's respect that goes to those persons, but our devotion goes to the divine, to the supreme, to Krishna. Now, one of the teachings, in fact, the concluding teaching that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is 18 chapters, and in the final, towards the end of the final chapter, Krishna gives his final instruction. What is that? Everybody knows the verse. Sarva dharmam parityaja mamikam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami ma suchaha. As you can see, Bhagavad Gita is like a standard text or point of reference or pramana, this evidence for knowing things. Because with our senses, we don't know lots of things. Even the things that we know, it's imperfect, but to speak of knowing the soul that's within the body, we may know or have faith that there is such a thing. And Gallup polls show that people believe there is such a thing. But what is that thing? And it's disclosed in Bhagavad Gita, the very beginning portion. Not only there's the soul, according to Bhagavad Gita, there's a form of the Supreme, Vishnu, within the heart of every living being. So there's two souls, the Supreme Soul and the individual soul within the heart. This is Bhagavad Gita's message. And then there's a relationship between those two. And the process of meditation is where one meditates upon the Supreme. The process of devotion, which is the process that we follow, process of devotion, we serve the Supreme. We use the senses. We use the hand and the legs and the eyes, and you know, we're musical. We sing and we dance, and we use our senses in the service of the master of the senses. We serve God through the gifts that God has given us. So that's the path of devotion. There's something about little children, they sometimes make noise. They sometimes don't make noise, but most of the time they make noise. And then they cry, and then... Okay. So that's Krishna. His concluding message is, all other forms of religiosity that he has spoken of in Bhagavad Gita and all other forms found within the Vedas, they're subordinate to one principle. They lead, they're meant to be supported by one principle, and the one principle is to surrender unto him. Sharanam is the Sanskrit word in that verse. Sharanam is to place oneself in the service of. another, to surrender to him. Make God, make Krishna one's beloved object of love and service and surrender and submission. That's his final teaching in Bhagavad Gita. And he presents this teaching shortly before his departure from this world, 5,000 plus years ago, in the northern part of India, in Vrindavan. And then, after his departure from this world, the next age of mankind, according to the Vedic picture of time, time moves in cycles. Just like, you know, day and night and the four seasons, and there's smaller circles and bigger circles of time without elaborating. Vedic picture of time is cyclical. So there's, within that, one of the circles of time is the ages of mankind, according to the Vedic picture. There's ideal, then less than ideal, and then further less than ideal, and then further less than ideal, and then kind of a partial devastation event takes place, and again, goodness, and then decreasing to degradation and degradation. So we're in this degradation age called Kali Yuga. And with the appearance of Kali Yuga, good qualities, the qualities of goodness become diminished. Just like in wintertime, trees fall off, the leaves fall off the trees and it gets cold, and there's symptoms of winter. So this is like the winter season, so to speak, where the good qualities of mankind are ever increasingly diminished. And therefore, for people in this age to take the message of Bhagavad Gita and actually live by that message of Bhagavad Gita, it's rare. So to teach people how to live by that teaching of surrender unto me, Krishna himself appears to teach how to surrender to Krishna. You want to teach something, do it yourself. You could designate someone else. That also works. Sometimes God sends a representative. Sometimes he expands himself as some avatar and does that. Sometimes he comes himself. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna coming himself. Now that's our understanding of the divinity of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, who's teaching how to fulfill this the final instruction of Bhagavad Gita. What's that? How to surrender to Krishna. How to live your life in surrender to Krishna. And there's obstacles, because this is the age of Kali, it's a degraded age. People are not so inclined. And they're compromised in many ways. Prayinal payushakshabya kalavasmin yugejana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya yupadrita. Manda means bad, and it's repeated several times. Manda, sumanda. Su means very. Manda, sumanda, Mateo. Manda bhagya yupadrita. The duration of life is shortened. This is now a scriptural reference indicating what the age of Kali, a forecast at the beginning of Kali Yuga, because it was known before it happened what it would be like. The age of one's life diminishes, the quality of compassion diminishes, the capacity for memory diminishes, the interest in spiritual life diminishes, and someone, unfortunate circumstance, desires to have something genuine, they're often misguided by others, and their minds are always disturbed symptoms of this age of Kali specified in the scripture. And so, the process, God is very loving and kind. He gives a very simple process for reawakening the dormant spiritual inclination, the desire to serve God, the desire to surrender to God and understand Him through that loving service. And that primary means is the chanting of God's holy name, which we did just before. And when I'm done, we're going to do some more of it. And there's a reason for it, because it's specifically, according to the Vedic teachings, and according to the Lord Chaitanya's divine exhibition of this, or demonstration of this, he taught the importance of chanting God's holy name. It's not unique, teachings of the world, religious teachings of this world today. Look carefully, and you will find similar emphasis on the importance of the holy name. I wasn't born practicing Krishna consciousness. I was born in a Protestant family, and I learned, like every nice boy that goes to Sunday school learns, the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So that's what we're doing. Hallowing his name, or praising his name, singing his name. We like the name Krishna, and somebody else may like another name, and may like another name, and may like another name, and that's fine. But sing and praise the name of God as the primary means of awakening our natural tendency of love for God, and even specifically, love for Krishna. There's a Lord Chaitanya taught, Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sadhya Kabunoi, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte, Kariye Udoi. That's Bengali. And it says, within the heart of every living being, whether in Africa or China or Lower Slavovia or Timbuktu, within the heart of every living being, there's Krishna Prema, like a seed. Love of God is there, but even specifically, Lord Chaitanya taught, love for Krishna is already there. And Shravanadi, beginning with Shravana, beginning with the hearing process, and from hearing, then other forms of devotion. Hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, worshipping, and offering various services unto. The processes of expressing our love for God and our devotion for God. It begins with the hearing process. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte. One's consciousness becomes Shuddha, or pure. So this is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Make your consciousness pure, beginning with hearing and chanting the names of God, and then following that, all the other forms of expression of devotion to God, devotion to Krishna. So he who taught that, the message of this discussion, particularly for the benefit of you three, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself teaching that. Now, he doesn't need to come himself to teach that. As I mentioned before, he can empower someone else to do that. He's quite capable. He can do whatever he likes. So there are many cases where he empowers others to do that. The teaching is not, it's in itself a unique teaching. Another one, I'm assuming that you come from a Christian background, as did I, you three. So in the Sermon of the Mount, the two primary teachings, when the disciples ask Christ, you've taught so many things. What's the essence and most important thing that we should know from your teachings? Two things. Love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Then, love your neighbor as yourself. So the neighbor as yourself, the neighbor is those living entities that are parts and parcels of God. So our neighbor, the Vaishnava teaching specifically is not just human beings are your neighbors, but the trees and the birds and, you know, and nature. They're living beings that they're parts and parcels of God just as we are. They're different species, and they have different contributions they make to life, but they're to be loved and respected also. And the basis of that love and respect for all living entities goes back to the first one, loving God. Now, how to awaken that love of God? How to fulfill and accomplish that? It begins, Lord Chaitanya taught, it begins with this very simple process of chanting God's name. And along with the process of chanting of God's name, there are many teachings found in Bhagavad Gita and other scripture that teach us what are the codes of conduct by which we should live our lives, moralities and, you know, standards by which to live. But those standards by which to live, I'll say it in reverse, that's not the essence. That's like a chamber, an incubation chamber for love of God, and in turn love for all living entities. So we don't ignore the incubation chamber, we observe the moralities and standards of proper conduct, theistic conduct. But we don't see those as the essence, we see the essence as the essence, and the essence is love of God. And we try, according to the indications given by Lord Chaitanya and his followers and these teachings, we try to maximize these two things, taking shelter of God's holy name and the teachings of our internal life of devotion towards God, of prayer and other forms of devotional expression that are internal. And then in the external sense, live our lives in such a way that's in harmony with the will of God, in harmony with the teachings of God, and naturally beneficial for other living entities that are around us. Not just humans, but other living entities that are around us, respecting their position as souls that are parts of God, and they have a role to play in life. So we have, now this is Yelson, we have copies of the life of Lord Chaitanya, along with the purports of Srila Prabhupada, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was written after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He did so in Vrindavan. And it's been very kindly translated with commentary by Srila Prabhupada in a wonderful presentation. So for this particular week, because it's Gaura Purnima this week, I've been told there's a Gaura Purnima special price for the book. For the set of books. The subject matter is very, very wonderful. It's deep and profound, the teachings that are found within it. So, if you're interested, who do they see? Where's Sundarananda? Oh, this young man here will help you if you are interested. 108 is the magic number for this week. So just to summarize, the divinity of Lord Chaitanya is in detail expressed in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he's the presentation today that I've given is that Krishna is the source of everything, and from time to time, after Krishna makes in this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as Krishna himself in the mood of his own devotee, teaching how to surrender to Krishna, how to live your life in full devotion to Krishna. And he does so. He appears as if he's one of us. He lives as a young boy, as a student, and then he's like learns his lessons so fast he becomes a teacher when he's just still a young boy because he's a super scholar. And he has many, 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 he's a very popular teacher and many, many, many students. And then he receives spiritual initiation and becomes a great devotee, not just a scholar, and continues for the rest of his life. This is in the late 1400s, when Columbus was sailing around to see if the earth was round or flat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was appearing and giving love of God in South India. It's around that same time when he appeared and established this Yuga Dharma and freely gave love of God to whoever would take through that means. And then he instructed that this chanting will be heard in every town and village. So I've just come from 3 days ago. It was in India. And I'm doing okay this morning with my jet lag. It's the afternoons is more difficult. And I attended a gathering at our international headquarters in Mayapur. The major festival hadn't taken place yet. They were having chanting. And there were thousands of devotees from all over the world attending that. And then I left. And there will be thousands this year just going around for our devotees. Just going around the Navadvip Parikrama. They're anticipating 5,000 devotees just doing Parikrama around the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And when it comes to the 50th anniversary of ISKCON, they're anticipating 10,000. That's a really busy Mangalarti, and then all the rest of the day and cooking for all those. Anyway, it's in Kirtan, it's really something spectacular. Crowded. But there are, for me, and I'm sharing this with you three in particular, for me, I've been practicing, as you heard, I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 45 years. Like nothing else but doing that. And when I go to this festival and I see people from literally all parts of the world, they're from the Philippines, they're from Africa, they're from Siberia, and they're from Moscow, and they're from Europe, and they're from China, and they're from all over the world, and love for Krishna is in their heart equally as it's in anyone else's heart. And it comes out from the chanting of Krishna's holy name. It's not a belief system that like it's superimposed on top and then you can accept it, reject it like a belief system. I believe it, I don't believe it. It just comes out. It's really, it's wonderful. And then meeting these devotees, at least the ones that speak English, and having conversations and finding out what their experiences were of how they became involved with their life while being involved was like. It's there's so much symmetry. Anyway, it's really nice. So love of Krishna was in the heart of everyone, and Lord Chaitanya came to awaken that and give love of God. So any comments or questions, especially from you three, if you have any thoughts, you're okay. Maybe later you'll think of something. Okay. Comments or questions from anyone? He's just stretching? Okay. 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 Srila Prabhupada ki jai.